the Lord Jesus Christ. Wilt thou now, our Father, search our hearts, forgive us of every sin, of every failure. And grant, O Lord, that we, being emptied of self, wait before Thee to be filled. May Thy Spirit take of Thy Word, fill our hearts, that we go home rejoicing in Thee. Lord, Thou knowest the need of each heart present. We're not asking for the satisfaction of our desires. We're asking, O Lord, that Thy will might be accomplished and that Jesus would be honored and glorified. Wherever Thy word shall be opened and read this morning, wilt Thou, our Father, own and bless. Bless the ministering servant. And may the prophecy of Isaiah, that Thy word shall not return unto Thee void, be fulfilled. Now, Father, we commit and we commend this service into Thy hands. We pray, O Lord, for the coming of Thy kingdom, when Thy will shall be perfectly accomplished here upon the earth. We pray for the kings and rulers, leaders of the nation of the world. And Lord, once again we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. I'm turning to the second epistle of Peter. Second Peter, chapter 1. In this epistle, the Spirit of the Lord, through Peter, is speaking to those of us who are Christians. On how to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained the like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless the reading of this portion of His Word. This passage I read a few moments ago has been on my heart all week. How we may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter is addressing this to all who have obtained like precious faith with him. That like precious faith was obtained, not attained. It was given as a gift of God because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins. It was Peter's desire. It was the Lord's desire. It's your desire. It's my desire that we become more and more like the Savior. As we sung a few moments ago, more like the Savior I would ever be. God has given us many precious promises. And according to these precious promises, we become partakers of the divine nature. When we are born from above, we receive a new nature. We receive a spiritual nature. Our old nature continues with us. And the conflict between the spiritual nature and the carnal nature begins. The flesh striving against the spirit, and the spirit striving against the flesh. Peter starts with that which every Christian has: faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I was asked on one occasion by an elderly minister who was a member of the church of which I was pastor. How is a person saved? I didn't want to risk my wisdom against his knowledge of the Word, so I just quoted the verse I quoted a moment ago. For by grace are you saved through faith. He said, that's right. Now, one more question. Whence cometh that faith? I said, that's a gift of God. And he uttered these words I've never forgotten. He said, don't you ever forget that. The faith by which we believe and receive the grace of God is the gift of God itself. Now Peter says to all of you who have obtained this faith, all of you who have been given this faith, remember the precious promises of our Lord. And now he starts what some have called the golden stairway into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Step by step, each one building upon the other, reaching the top step, one has attained unto that high and precious calling in God Christ Jesus. So he says, as he starts the building of the ladder or the stairway, faith being the foundation. Add to your faith virtue. We're prone today to think of virtue as only moral cleanliness. But fundamentally, virtue in its original usage meant courage, manliness, bravery. Don't be a Christian who is ashamed of Christ. I have heard some say, when asked if they were a Christian, reply, yes, but I didn't let it make a fool out of me, as if apologizing for being a Christian. Faith, there must be courage. That courage asserts itself, first of all, when we make the announcement to somebody else, I have trusted Christ as my Savior. I have become a Christian. It further manifests itself in walking the aisle with a public acknowledgement before the public that one has accepted Christ as their Savior. It further expresses itself by humbling oneself to the obedience of Christ in the beautiful ordinance of baptism. It further shows its manliness and its courage in living for Christ. Going back to your work, your home, your place of business, taking with you the principles of Christ and living according to them. I remember on one occasion announcing a certain course of action. A young man said to me, oh, the preacher's gotten religion, huh? Sometimes we are afraid to live as a Christian for fear of the jeers and taunts of those with whom we are associated. Now add to your faith virtue, courage, manliness. Daniel showed it when he refused to eat of the meat and the wine that came from the king's table. As a lad 14, purposed in his heart that he would not do that. And he didn't. There was a young man, member of a church of which I was pastor, went to the war. At night, before retiring to sleep in the barracks, he'd take his Bible and read it. He didn't crawl under the cover and read it by a flashlight. He just took his Bible out and laid it on his cot and read it. Jeers and taunts. Some threw shoes at him and other objects, but it never deterred him. To your faith, add courage. Manliness. Now he says, to your faith, add knowledge. The spirit indictment of the children of Israel through the Apostle Paul was, he said, I bear them witness. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. If you're going to be brave and courageous in your expression before man, it's got to be according to knowledge. We obtain knowledge of God, His plans and His purposes from this book. Study this book. Read this book. Pray with this book open. Meditate upon its truth. Speak oft with the Lord. And see that it is according to knowledge. How much purported service of God today is not according to knowledge? A zeal for God, but not according to the Word of God. Knowledge. Learn that. Now to knowledge, add temperance. Again, the meaning of word shifts. Temperance today means temperance in partaking of alcoholic drinks are in total abstinence. But temperance as used here means self-control, self-discipline. All right. You have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And with courage, you go out to witness. You're witnessing according to knowledge gained from the Word of God. You have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And with courage, you go out to witness. You're witnessing according to knowledge gained from the Word of God. Now exercise self-control. There's a time to witness and a time not to witness. There's a time to run. There's a time to stand. There's a time to play. There's a time to pray. There's a time to fast. There's a time to feast. There's a time for everything. Exercise self-control. How oft an ill word spoken give worlds to take back. How oft an act indulged we'd give our right arm to undo. Self-control. That applies to every walk of life. We need self-control in the business world. Many a businessman has let the business take him away from the things of God. Many an individual has come to put the things of this world in the business world ahead of God. I've noticed this throughout my entire ministry. Sunday evening, church time approaches. We have visitors. We hesitate to say to them, we're going to church. But when Monday morning comes and we have visitors, without hesitation we say, I've got to go to work. And we go. Why not the services of the Lord? Because we don't have self-control. We need self-control in pleasure. We're living in a day in which the Apostle Paul, filled with the Spirit of God, describes it. Men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We look askance at a man who will put the services of God ahead of many forms of pleasure. Self-control. We need self-control in the handling of the possessions with which God blesses us. Sometimes we're guilty of letting the blessings take hold of us and exercise control of us because we ourselves have no discipline nor self-control. Not to your temperance or your self-control, add patience. That is, endurance. We've got to wait on the Lord. Dr. Mueller, that man who fed thousands of children in his orphanage in London years ago, spoke of self-control, or endurance, rather, patience in this. He was a power with God in prayer. It was said on one occasion he was coming by steamer from London to the United States to address a certain religious meeting, and the ship was enveloped in a heavy fog, and they had to stop the ship. They couldn't see at all where they were going. And on this occasion, he went to see the captain of the ship. And he told the captain that he had an appointment at a certain time and he had to get to dock at a certain time. And the captain said, I'm sorry, but it cannot be. Dr. Mueller said, let's have a word of prayer. The captain was taken aback. But there in the cabin quarters of the captain, those that were present had to yield. And Dr. Mueller led him in prayer, reminding the Lord of the appointment that he had, and that they could not be delayed. Finishing his prayer, he turned to the captain. He said, "All is well." And when they went out on the deck, the fog had lifted and they went on. Now, I mentioned that among many other things where the Lord blessed mightily. The Lord put upon his heart 5 men for whom he was to pray that they would be saved. 5 men. He prayed believing. 2 of those men were saved before he died. But the patient endurance of him in praying until his dying day resulted in the other 3 being saved after he died. Endure. Run with patience the race that's set before us. It's wonderful and it's beautiful in a time of revival. Everybody's on the mountaintop. We mount up on wings like eagles. We reach heights never before attained. But we're jarred when we come down from the mountaintop to the valley. Isaiah says that the man of God, led by the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit of God, will mount up on wings like eagles. There will be those moments of exaltation into the presence of the Lord. They shall run like horses. They come to a lower level. That's in the natural experience from the mountaintop to the walking like horses. And then he reaches a lower plateau and shall run or walk and not grow weary. And most of our experiences as Christians are walking. Walking step by step, day by day. There are those moments we run like horses. There are those moments we mount up on wings like eagles. Most of the time just walking and not tiring. Endurance, patience, wait on the Lord. And again I say, wait on the Lord. To patience, he would add godliness, God-likeness. More like the Master I would ever be. How do we become like God? Not by drawing up a set of rules. Don't. Over against that. Do. That isn't the way. There is a certain way outlined in the Word of God. Beholding as in a mirror the likeness of the image of our God, we are changed from glory to glory in His own image and likeness. This book is a mirror. And if we look in this book, comparable to a rearview mirror, we see what's behind us. No man can look on the face of the Lord as man now is, and as the Lord now is. But we can look in a mirror and get a reflected view. And that mirror is this book. We can read this book, live in this book, pray in this book, and become more and more like the Master. We become like that with which we are associated. I have seen, as no doubt many of you have seen, a husband and wife who've lived together 50 or 60 years. There's a striking likeness between them. They get to where they look like each other. It's been said we become, or everything we see, everything we hear, and everything we do becomes a part of us. Now we become more like God by looking into the face of God. Moses, coming down from the mountaintop, having been in the presence of the Lord, reflected the glory of the Lord to such an extent that he put a veil over his face, first of all, because of the brightness of the glory of God reflected in his face. Secondly, he put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not see the brightness and glory of that fading away. We become more like the one with whom we associate. Have you ever walked with a friend that limped and then soon found yourself limping with them? Sometimes you'll walk behind a person that has a limp and you feel yourself falling in step. You can dwell in the pages of this book, looking upon the face of the Lord in this book, and become more and more like Him. You add that. You add godliness to your patience. You add godliness to your endurance. And then to that godliness, you add brotherly love. Brotherly love. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. To brotherly love, the scripture says, add love. There are two different words used here. Brotherly love, the Greek word is phileo, from which we get the city Philadelphia. Phileo and Adelphus, brotherly love, or the love of the brethren. Now that's love that one extends to another as a brother in Christ. Brotherly love. John Wesley, preaching on one occasion on brotherly love and on love as we have it in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, gave this caustic remark. He said, if that's Christianity, where are the Christians? Show me somebody that loves, as outlined in 1 Corinthians 13. Brotherly love is love that a man could show to a man. Even a stranger in the flesh, if brothers in the Lord. We do things from a philanthropical or from a humanitarian point of view. What's the greatest commandment? The Lord replied, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And a new commandment give I unto you, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Brotherly love. Show your love to humanity. Then to that add love. And here the word is that word with which all of you are familiar, the word agape. That's the love that comes from God to man. That's the love of God which passeth all understanding. That's the love that overlooks. That's the love that forgives. That's the love that comes only from God. A husband does a wrong, a wife errs, a child is disobedient, gets involved in so much, get involved in the day. What's the attitude of the parent? What's the attitude of a forgiving husband or a forgiving wife? When we remember that while we were yet in our sins, God loved us so much that Christ died for us. While we were yet in our sins, love. Now here's the stairway. The first step is faith. Then we step up to courage, manly courage. From there we take a step up to knowledge that our courage and zeal will reveal itself in knowledge. To that knowledge we add self-control or temperance. To temperance we add patience or endurance. To that we add godliness. Then we take the next to the last step, brotherly love. Then we reach the top of the stairs, love. The love of God, which passeth all understanding, possesses us. Now, he says, if these things be in you and abound, these are not necessary to salvation. These are things only that can be accomplished by one who has been saved. It's a Christian faith that adds virtue. It's one who's accepted Christ as their Savior that can add virtue. And these other graces, as they're sometimes called. Now, if these things be in you and abound, they're not in all Christians. One can be saved and have none of these. One can obtain that faith and have none of these. But if these things be in you and abound, they make you that neither ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the word for knowledge there is epinosis, which means that deep, that overall, that fullness of knowledge, which comes from personal experience with the Lord, living with Him. He that lacketh these things, the Christian who doesn't have these things, is blind. The better translation of that word is nearsighted, as you see in the remainder of that verse. He's nearsighted. Cannot see very far. And has forgotten. Has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Have you forgotten? Have I forgotten? That God, for Christ's sake, has purged me from my sins. Wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence. Now, you Christians, Peter says, give diligence. The Apostle Paul and the Lord Himself refer to terms that are used in business life. In the parable of the pound, the parable of the talents, our Lord says, occupy or keep busy trading and trafficking until I come. In business, be diligent. Be alert. For in the rather brethren, give diligence. Like a man in business. Up early. I lived in prehistoric times, I think. My early days. I think the first or second job that I got, we were told if we show up an hour early and work an hour after work, we might get a raise. And we did. Diligent. Diligent in business. I've known men to forego meals because of business. I've known men to forego pleasure trips because of business. Be diligent in business. I've known men, I've done it myself, get up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and hasten to a job. Be diligent in these things. It was said to Mr. Wesley on one occasion, when he told of how much work he had to do that day, someone suggested that their prayer time might be profitably cut short. To which he replied, because I have so much to do today, I must give much more time to prayer. Diligent. I've noticed students in a university and in the seminary up early, up late, studying, 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 diligent, diligent. I've known some young men studying to be doctors. Seems to me like they study until they've run themselves crazy. Diligent to attain a goal. Now he says here, wherefore the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Literally, you shall never stumble. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The King is coming. And the way world events are shaping themselves today, one can almost see the door knob turning as the Lord has His hand upon the door, is waiting at the door. Jesus is coming. He's going to establish a kingdom. When He establishes His kingdom, He's going to need individuals to assume positions of responsibility and trust in His kingdom as vice regents. So He says, Peter says, if these things be in you and abound, if you give diligence to bring these things to pass in your own personal experience, you're going to have an abundant entrance. An abundant entrance into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Compare abundant entrance with the statement expressed to me too often, just so I get there by the skin of my teeth. That's all that matters. No, an abundant entrance. Strive! Strive to enter the narrow gate and go along the straightened or contracted way. Few there be that find it. That's not salvation. That's the walk of a Christian. Strive to be found pleasing unto the Lord. To you who have obtained like faith. Maybe there's someone here who hadn't obtained that faith. And this morning, as we extend to you an invitation, you walk down and say, Brother Wilson, I'm accepting Christ as my Savior. Today is the day of salvation. The time is short. The Lord's coming draweth nigh. And as we stand and sing two stanzas of our invitational hymn, man or woman or boy,